All right. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Reverend Josh and kids. Good morning, brothers and sisters. As we continue in the worship of the Lord, we will continue with the theme that we have been going through in church throughout the month of July, which is the theme of prayer. How do we pray? That's the question we have been asking ourselves. And so this morning, you'll notice that in the letter to the Philippians that the Apostle Paul wrote, it had something to do with prayer. And then also today's gospel reading will speak to how do we pray. This comes from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. I invite you to hear this word. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And then he said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, let your will be done." Again, he came and he found his disciples sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, Jesus went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. And then he came to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up and let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I lift up my voice to call on your name and ask that you would, first of all, settle our hearts and allow us to be able to hear the word that you would want us to hear. Allow me to speak that which comes from you and allow our hearts and our minds to meditate upon your word in its truth. We pray that you will grab hold of us, that you will teach us about prayer, that you will let your spirit dwell within this body of believers at this time, and bring forth that which you would like, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, friends, as I've said, we have been going through different passages on prayer throughout this last month in July. We've been asking ourselves the question as we have gone through these passages of Scripture, how do we pray? How do we communicate with the Lord so that God can hear us and that we can hear God in return, so that there is this relationship of conversation and understanding with the one who has made the heavens and the earth? How do we do that? How do we pray? The first week, we learned that to even ask that question of how do we pray is a good first step, because prayer, even though it might be surprising to us, is not natural to us. Prayer is something that we have to learn. We don't just simply know the spiritual language that is prayer. We have to learn how to communicate with God. We have to learn how to listen for what he is saying to us, which is why Jesus gave to his disciples the prayer that we now call the Lord's Prayer, when we say the words, "Our Father who art in heaven," and so on. This is the Lord's Prayer. Through that prayer, we begin to learn the major themes of God's communication with us. And this is the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, to learn to listen for the major themes of God's communication to us. And so in the Lord's Prayer, we see this, that God is speaking to us about his place in our lives, "Hallowed be thy name." That God is speaking to us about his will for our lives, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That God is speaking to us about his provision for our lives, give us this day our daily bread. And then finally, that God is speaking to us about his deliverance in our lives, when we are forgiven and set free from our sins, but also led away from temptation and led from the snares of Satan. These are the things that we might say God keeps on bringing up in prayer, keeps on talking to us about in the gift of prayer. Therefore, Jesus, he encouraged his disciples to practice talking to God about these things. But then we stepped into the next thing, and you are called, you and I are called to practice talking to God about these things, not questioning necessarily if he's going to answer, but trusting that the Lord is going to take care of us, that the Lord is good, that the Lord wants good things for us. He wants to bring forth his good things in our lives, his faithfulness, his hope, his love in us, for us, his presence in our lives, that we are to go to God in a spirit of trust. And Jesus said to seek, to ask, to knock on that door for these things, these good things that God has given to us to happen in our lives. And in so doing, what will happen is that we're going to be praying for what God wants in our lives instead of what we want in our lives. And when we do that, the Lord Jesus said, God's work, his will be done in us. It will come to pass, which is bold to say that. It's bold to declare that you know that God is going to do these things for you that he said he will do. However, boldness, as we heard last week, to go to God boldly, that is what the Lord wants us to bring to prayer, a spirit of boldness. Now listen, not a boldness in ourselves, not a boldness in our own request, not a boldness in our own faithfulness. You and I, we cannot be bold before the Lord like that. There is no thing that we can go before the Lord and say simply, you've got to answer this because of these things that I have done or these things that I am. You and I, we are weak. We are of the dust, says the Word of God. We're not able to be bold in ourselves, and yet still the Lord invites us into the presence of God so that we might receive help in times of need. And that is what it means to be bold in prayer, that we trust that word, that we can go before the Lord to ask for help in our time of need, and that there the Lord will give to us grace and mercy and goodness and will help us in each and every moment, no matter what the moment may bring. We are to be bold when we pray to the Lord. Today brings up the next question, which is this. At times we can be bold. At times you and I have that spirit in us and we think to ourselves, I'm going to be bold before the Lord, not in myself, but in what the Lord is doing in me. I can be bold. And yet then the next day happens and you and I, we might be thinking, you know what? I don't know that I can be bold today. I don't know that I can go to God again in this prayer today. I'm just not feeling it, or I'm just too tired. In other words, we are losing our endurance in prayer. So what does it look like to go to God in this kind of spirit of prayer with longevity and consistency in such a way that over the course of time we learn the practice of prayer, the results of prayer, in such a way that we grow in communion with the Lord and nurture the bonds of trust between us and God so that those bonds stay strong in the good times but also in the troubled times? How do we do that kind of prayer, which is to ask this, how do we pray with endurance? That's our theme today. How do we pray with endurance? Only through endurance can we last. Only with endurance can we make it to the time where we actually see God's goodness and faithfulness being fulfilled in our lives. Only if we learn how to endure in prayer will we see the full effect a prayer with the Lord. That's what I think Jesus was getting at today as in this gospel lesson that we read from the gospel according to Matthew, where he spoke to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. You may know the context of this story. It's right before Jesus is going to the cross, and he's troubled by what he sees coming ahead in his own life, the cross, the suffering, the pain, the death. Jesus was troubled in his heart, and he wanted to talk to his heavenly Father about this so that he could go forward with courage, but he also wanted his friends around him. He wanted not to be alone in that. He wanted them to be there with him, to be concerned for him, but also for themselves. He wanted them to pray to God, and so doing, they could possibly encourage him, and then he could possibly encourage them in return. And so he said to them this, "I'm deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Stay awake with me. In other words, be present and attentive to your prayers with me, because we need to see and trust that God, especially in this moment, is going to bring forth something good in our lives. But in that critical moment where prayer seemed so important to the Lord, it says this, that the disciples fell asleep. They gave up their concern for the Lord in that moment and their concern for themselves, and they fell asleep, which is something that, I'll say this for myself, that's something I can relate to. There are times when I would like to fall asleep like the disciples, whether that might mean literally or metaphorically, times when I don't want to think about what might be out there ahead of me because those things trouble me. Instead, what I would like to do is just block all those things out and act as if I just close my eyes, those things are going to disappear. There are times when I can relate to what happened with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is to say, my eyes get heavy and I would like to fall asleep and not think about it. And to be fair, if you can relate to that with me, there are times when we need a moment of reprieve from our troubles. Sometimes we do need to take a break. We need to take a rest from the things that trouble us in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits. Sometimes we just need to go to sleep so that we can feel better when we wake up. Sometimes we need that separation. Yeah. Sometimes we need to be separated from our anxieties, the things that are troubling us. So I think if we read this passage and we're not too heavy on the disciples, the truth is they were doing something that each of us does when we are faced with anxiety. We need some separation here and there. And I don't think that was the fullness of what was going on for the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. In that moment, in that particular time with Jesus, in what was about to come up ahead for them, the disciples needed to be girded up in the truth that yes, the moment might be scary, but here's the other part of the truth. With God in it, there's always something more to come than just what you and I might fear. With God in the moment, there's always something more to come than the things that we fear. Therefore, it's as if Jesus was saying this to them, do not lose sight of that. Do not give up on that. Do not close your eyes to the reality that with God in the moment, there's always something more to come than what you and I fear. Pray about it. Stay alert to it, because who knows? God just might break in at any moment. That's the truth that Jesus wanted them to hear. That's why Jesus came back to them and told them to stay awake. Couldn't you stay awake with me for an hour? He said, stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial, the time where you might start thinking that, nah, God just may not be in this moment after all. The spirit indeed is willing, he said, but the flesh is weak. In other words, if you don't pray with endurance, you just might be overtaken by the moment. Because in that moment, you may not be able to see that there's anything past that moment. And you're going to want to give up if you see like that, or if you close your eyes like that. However, if you endure in your prayers, if you don't give up talking to God about it, no matter how tired you might be, then you're going to realize, you're going to remember that with God, there's always more to come. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, Jesus said, stay awake. Stay awake and pray with me, he said. Now listen, this word that's translated to stay awake in the Greek, this Greek word translated to stay awake, it also is used in other places in this way. Be alert. Be attentive. And whenever we use that word to be alert, and when we translate this Greek word to stay awake into the way of saying it to be alert, it's always associated with the phrase or the stories in the Bible that remind us that at any moment, Jesus, the Son of God, might return, might come back, might bring forth his kingdom in all its fullness. For example, the Lord is telling his disciples in another place, he says, stay alert, because you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, he would have stayed alert, and he would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Be alert, in other words, because the Lord is near. His help is at hand. Which is what the Apostle Paul said in this beautiful and famous passage of scripture that we read in his letter to the Philippians, where he is encouraging the community to pray to God about the things that were troubling them. Paul wrote this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Why? The Lord is near. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is near.
Amen.
The Lord is at hand. And then he goes on and he says this, therefore, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, he says, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he keeps on going. He says, and finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you, he says. I think that the Apostle Paul is offering to us, the church, a recipe for how to pray with endurance. First and foremost, if you want to pray with endurance, if you want to keep your eyes open to God's always possible work in you, then you have to remember this. The Lord is near.
Yes, he is.
The Lord is at hand. At any moment, God just might break in and change the situation. Therefore, stay alert. Don't stop talking to God about the things that might trouble you, because his help just might be at hand. Along with that, says the Apostle Paul, we're also supposed to think on certain kinds of things. We're supposed to meditate on certain kinds of things. Things that are good and noble and just and pure and pleasing and commendable and worthy of praise, because whenever we think on those things, especially when we are thinking on those things in our hardest moments, what begins to happen is that we just start to see little glimpses of God's good work already happening. The Lord is near. Therefore, we are called to stay alert in our prayers, to not give up in our prayers, to not give up our hope in God, because if God is in the situation, it just might be that the next moment will be different. That is what it means to pray with endurance. It means that we never stop the conversation with God because we're just so utterly convinced that God is not going to stop the conversation with us.
Thank you, Lord.
And listen to this. That's not just the gift of this story in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think more than anything, the gift of this story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he tells us to stay alert and to have endurance in our prayers, is that he reveals to us that endurance does not have to look pretty. You can argue with your Heavenly Father and have endurance. You can writhe about in agony and you can still endure. You can struggle so much with your troubles that you begin to sweat out blood like Jesus Christ our Lord, and you can still endure. It doesn't matter what it looks like for you to endure the moment. It just matters that you don't give up. That you don't stop talking to the Lord about it in prayer. That you don't go to sleep, so to speak, so that you're no longer able to stay alert to the truth that at any moment Jesus Christ, the Son of God, just might break in and offer you his help. Yeah. You don't have to look good. You don't have to be good. You don't have to act good to pray with endurance. You just have to not give up the conversation with the Lord. You know, I think that most of us know to some extent the story of Job in the Bible and how Job was a man of faith who fell into a hard time. At first, it says that Job experienced this great tragedy where just suddenly he lost all of his possessions in one fell swoop. And then just suddenly, tragedy grew for Job as his sons and daughters were killed in a terrible accident. All of them. They had been at a banquet hall to participate in this feast when a great wind rose up and knocked down the building and buried his kids and all the rubble. In just a moment, Job's life changed from a life of ease to a life of sorrow and grief. Nevertheless, it says, Job called on the Lord and he said this, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord," though. And in this, the Bible says that Job did not sin or charge God with any wrongdoing. But Job's trials did not stop there. After the terrible grief of his loss, Job, it says, became sick or afflicted in some kind of way in his health, so that his skin began to be covered with all these loathsome sores all the way from his head down to his toes. And all Job could do was scratch himself and sit among the ashes of his life. And hear this. All of that happened in the first two chapters of this book, which is 42 chapters long. In other words, most of the book, 40 chapters of it at least, is about something other than the details of Job's sufferings. It's about something else. It's about how Job endured through the trials of his life. You may know the story of how Job began to argue with three of his closest friends, saying to them that he had not deserved this kind of suffering, that he had been righteous in the eyes of the Lord, and so why did God afflict him? And Job was not doing this pretty, y'all. He was struggling, and he was writhing about, and he was laying out his claims against the Lord and what has happened to him, and to which his friends began to respond and say, "Job, God is just. Surely you've done something wrong to deserve what has happened to you. We don't know what it is, but man, repent. Turn away from that wrong stuff, and God is going to heal you right away. Job, he wasn't having any of that. He was struggling with the Lord. He saw that he wasn't going to give up this conversation with God. He needed some answers, or he needed to keep on talking to the Lord about what was going on in his life. He needed to have some sense of understanding about his pain, about his suffering. And so instead of giving up that part of life where he would talk to God and struggle with the Lord and keep on pressing the issue with God, he said, no, I can't do that. I have to receive a word from the Lord. I have to hear from God himself. So that is what happened at the end of the book. God brought Job into his presence. And listen to what it actually says, the word of God. It doesn't say that God brought Job into his presence and said, instead it says this, the Bible says that the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. And then he said something to the effect of this, Job, you can't possibly know all the depth of my work. You can't possibly know all the intricacies of my plans. You are human, and I am God. And in a sense, God ends the conversation there, with Job hearing this truth that God is God and he is human. In other words, the book of Job does not end with an answering for the sufferings of Job. It doesn't end with the description of Job finally making peace with all the struggles that he's having. It doesn't even end with all the loose ends of the story being tied up nicely, because none of those things were the point of the book. Instead, the book of Job portrays a person who was able to last, who is able to endure the trials of life and last in his relationship with God, because he was not going to give up his conversation with the Lord. Job was not going to stop calling on the Lord for his help until he heard from the Lord himself. That is endurance. That's what it means to endure in prayer. It may not always be easy. It's possibly, more likely than not even going to be pretty, but it is what we are called to do. We are called to trust, or at least to do what Job did, which is call God out on the things that God has promised, and to stand on those promises, and to trust and hope that at last in our prayers, somehow, somewhere down the road, God is going to do what he has said he is going to do, which is this. He's going to give to us his goodness. And we're not going to give up until we see that goodness. Now listen, at the very end of the story of Job, that is what happened. It says that he heard from the Lord after he had endured this long season of struggle, but because he endured, the Bible says the Lord began to restore Job's fortunes so that he blessed the latter days of Job's life more than at his beginning. You see, the Lord did what he said he was going to do. He gave to him his goodness. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God the Father, the Holy Spirit, who gives to us the presence of God, the Lord is near. Yes. You are called, I am called, to look around and begin to see maybe just a glimpse of the good things that God is already doing in our lives. To stay alert to this truth that at any moment, we just might get a word from the Lord. You don't think you're hearing it now? Who's to say that in the next moment is not the time that God is going to speak to you? You just might receive his help. Your fortunes just might change. Because here's the thing. When the Lord is in our lives, there's always something more to come than the struggles we face. That is the goodness God has promised to us. Amen? Amen. May we stay awake in our prayers. May we stay alert to the presence of the Lord. May we pray with endurance. May we be this people, this body of Christ here in East Liberty, in Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, in the United States. May we be a people filled with the Holy Spirit who do not give up in our prayers, who do not close our eyes to the truth that God just might be on the cusp of doing something new. May you go out as that kind of people. Gird yourselves up. Stay awake in this kind of way. Be alert in your prayers and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.